No, let me light myself one of these.
Signor Burgess, il suo nome è legato a un film tratto da un romanzo intitolato L'arancia meccanica, l'arancia ad orologeria. Che cosa ha significato nell'insieme della sua produzione letteraria quel libro?
In a sense, this book does state what I am always trying to state in my work, that man is free, that man was granted the gift of free will, and he can choose. And if he decides to choose evil rather than to choose good, this is in his nature. And it is not the task of the state to kill this capacity for choice. In effect, the book, Clockwork Orange, says that it is better for a man to do evil with his own free will than for the state to turn him into a machine which can only do good. Now, in this sense, I've been using the theme of free will in novel after novel, but the book is different from the others in that it uses a specially contrived language, and also in that it makes far more explicit use of violence than in any other of my works. I don't like violence, I don't like presenting violence in my books, I don't like even presenting the act of sex in my books. I'm naturally timid about these things. But in writing A Clockwork Orange, I was so appalled at the prospect before us in the late 1950s, the prospect of the state taking over more and more of the area of free choice, that I felt I had to write the book. The book is didactic. The book teaches, preaches a little too much. And I don't think it's the job of the artist to do that. The job of the artist is merely to show. But the book became popular precisely because it combined the didactic and what seemed to many people to be the pornographic. Pornography of violence and the teachy, preachy quality. When you get these two together, you will normally produce a book that can become a bestseller. The book didn't become a bestseller, not for many, many years. But inevitably, it has become my most popular book, and this I resent. Out of the 30-odd books I've written, this is often the only book of mine that is known. This I resent very much.
It also talks about a private happening in your life, something in your biography involved.
Yes, indeed. My first wife, who is now dead, was attacked during the war in London, in the blackout, by four American soldiers who were, in fact, deserters. It wasn't a sexual attack. It was an attack for robbery. But the result of this attack was that she had a miscarriage. She lost the child she was carrying at the time. And her health deteriorated, and I suppose her eventual death was initiated by this act of violence. I think it's the job of the artist, especially the novelist, to take events like that from his own life or from the lives of those near to him and to purge them, to cathartize the pain, the anguish, in a work of art. That is one of the jobs of art. I think it was D.H. Lawrence who said, we shed our sicknesses in works of art. In this sense, the part of the novel, part of the film, in which a character is writing a book, and the book is called, in my own book, A Clockwork Orange, was an attempt to put myself in the novel, to put myself as a writer who is a subject, and his wife also, to the depredations, to the violence of wild youth. And by that means, to clear it out of my system so that I didn't have to think about it anymore. I think that the therapeutic virtue of this book is probably its greatest virtue, as far as I'm concerned. Its artistic virtue is rather less.
And then the novel was made into a film.
Mm-hmm.
Did it make a lot of money for you?
No, I didn't make any money at all. I just sold the book rather early on in my career. Ever since the book was written, from about 1962 on, there have been attempts to make a film out of it. But of course, in 1962, 1963, the climate wasn't yet ready for films of this kind. We weren't ready in 1962 to see on the films explicit violence, explicit rape, even explicit nudity. So the original attempt to make a film of A Clockwork Orange was an attempt at a very low financial level. The idea was to make a kind of underground film with the Rolling Stones, a very popular singing group at that time, and I think still in it, playing the four leading parts. The film would not make much money. The film would not be shown publicly, probably only in film clubs, and in consequence I accepted $500 for the rights of the book. Naturally, The book was now in the hands of operators who were able to sell it eventually for $500,000. So the money gained from the book has been gained by those who didn't write it. For my own part, I don't worry, because it is the nature of serious artists not to make money. Artists don't make money, they get their pleasures other ways.
I thought you originally the book was in 59 and 60, anyhow.
The book was written in about, it was finished in 1960, but there was great difficulty in getting it published. In those days, people were very squeamish. In 1960, in England, only then, for the first time, was it possible to buy a copy of Lady Chatterley's Lover in its unabridged form. It's only just over 10 years ago, but the climate has changed so fundamentally in 10 years that it's very hard for us now to believe what life was really like in the 1960s.
But letting money aside, what has signified for you the appearance of the film?
The film has just been a damned nuisance. I'm regarded by some people as a mere boy, a mere helper to Stanley Kubrick, the mere secondary creator who is feeding a primary creator who is a great film director. This I naturally resent. I resent also the fact that I am frequently blamed for the various crimes which are supposed to be instigated by the film. It is said that young boys see this film, and I believe in England now young girls also, and then they go around imitating what they have seen in the film. They go around beating up old men, and there have been one or two murders, and the murders have been blamed on this film. Well, when the press gets on to these sad events, they don't go to the director and ask him what he thinks about it. They go to the author, they go to me and say, do you feel responsible for all this? And I have to say, well, whether I'm responsible or not, this question should have been asked 12 years ago, when the book was first published, not now, when the book has become better known through its transference from another medium. But the fundamental answer is, no, one is not responsible. If I am responsible for young boys beating up old men or killing old women after having seen the film, then Shakespeare is responsible every time some young man decides to kill his uncle and blames it on Hamlet. Shakespeare is responsible for producing a film like King Lear, in which the most unutterable violence is presented, and even that earlier play of Shakespeare's, Titus Andronicus, which not only do we have multiple rape, but also mutilation and finally cannibalism. Shakespeare, as far as I know, has never been blamed for any of the violence in the world. And for that matter, if we're going to start blaming books, let's start blaming the Bible. The most bloodthirsty book ever written was the Bible, and there was a man in New York State who killed something like 16 children, slaughtered them in cold blood, and he said he was fascinated by the stories of blood sacrifice in the Old Testament, and he merely wanted to present a sweet offering to the Lord. Again, we had a man in England, a man called Haig, who murdered various women and drank their blood, and he blamed all this on the sacrament of the Eucharist. He said he was so fascinated by the notion of drinking the body and blood of Christ during the Mass that he merely wanted to transfer this to his own life and drink the blood, at least, of live women. Now, when we get to that stage, all art is culpable. And I prefer to say that the elements in man which produce violence, which produce murder and rape, are already there and are not likely to be instigated or even fomented by a work of art. The work of art merely takes life as it is and shows life as it is, and that's the end of its duty.
Mr. Burgess, and what is your opinion of our present civilization and of our society, present society?
It is no different from any other society in the sense that our society is violent, our society is irresponsible. I don't think we're any worse than, say, the society in which Shakespeare lived. The stories we read about Elizabethan England indicate that it was far more dangerous to walk the streets of London, say, in 1590-odd, than it is to walk the streets of Rome or New York today. The fact is that human nature doesn't change. We're violent, we're naturally violent, we're naturally aggressive, and we just see more of it nowadays because we see more newspapers and more films. Now, let me get this straight, too, while I'm at it. There's nothing wrong with violence. Violence in itself is not a bad thing. It is not automatically to be condemned, because only through violence can beneficent changes be made. It was only through violence that the Americans were able to create a revolution. It's only through violence in our own age that we were able to defeat the Nazis.